Welcome to the Send Relief Podcast, where our goal is to equip every church to serve its community with gospel-centered mercy and compassion ministry.
Hey, I'm Lorna Bias, and I am sitting here with Ryan West. We serve together on the Send Relief team, and we're glad you've joined us today for the Send Relief Podcast. Ryan, you had a chance to sit down and talk with Vaughn Miner, and tell us a little bit about that conversation and what we're going to hear today.
Yeah, Vaughn is a pastor of a local church in a difficult context. The name of the community is Bonton. It's a neighborhood in inner city Dallas, Texas. And Vaughn and his church are making a major difference in the lives of people who are generally a neighborhood, generally marked as an under-resourced neighborhood, lives who are broken, people who are generationally on welfare, government assistance. They don't have access to opportunities to get out of that situation, and they've gone into this neighborhood. It's a church that started out of Prestonwood, a Baptist church, and a man named Mike Fetchner started a ministry called His Bridge Builders, and they went into Bonton and began revitalizing the neighborhood, leading people to Christ while they were working with them on things like getting quality jobs, housing, these kind of things. And then a church came out of that as they saw people come to Christ. Well, Vaughn, it's really good to be with you today.
Man, it's an honor always to be able to talk with you, Ryan, and excited about what God is doing in the city, obviously what he's doing in Atlanta. And through Memphis and some of the urban areas throughout the country.
Yeah, it's great. And that, you know, I just wanted to spend a few minutes with you today just to talk about that. When we talk about inner city ministry, the connection of mercy ministry, I think you guys really do uphold this ideal of the connection of planting churches in some of the most difficult neighborhoods that we would encounter in North America and seeing the gospel thrive, seeing the body of Christ thrive, and seeing your community thrive as a result of that. So just tell us for a few minutes, tell us a little bit about your personal background, how you got to the point of pastoring the church where you are.
Well, it's a kind of a complex story, but I'm going to summarize it fairly quickly. I was a former television ad exec. Before that, I was a reporter and an anchor. And of course, God would call us to ministry out of that corporate background. And I was serving at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in the student ministry. And serving in the student ministry, someone said, hey, you might need to teach one of these classes. So I taught a class, and from teaching that class, that grew from 30 to 100. And someone said, you know, you have the gift of teaching preaching. And I was like, I don't even know what a preacher is. honestly, I don't know what that gift means. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. You're making me a bit uncomfortable. Yeah. So long story short, my wife and I accepted a call in the ministry and left corporate America and went to seminary, accepted a job with Dr. Tony Evans at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship Church, serving as the assistant student pastor at the time. In fact, I don't even give you a pastor title. It's like director. So I was the lowest guy on the totem pole. Yeah. And then ultimately worked up to being the student director. And then from that, after leaving Oak Cliff, a buddy of mine, I said, man, I'm going to go back to corporate America. I need to figure some stuff out, what my next move is and in terms of what God is calling me to do. And everyone was asking me if I was going to be a church planter. And I said, absolutely not. That's the last thing in the world I'll ever do. So a buddy that I went to seminary with said, you need to meet this guy by the name of Mike Fetchner. Mm-hmm. He's got an urban ministry in South Dallas. Well, I'm from South Dallas. And South Dallas, the zip code that I'm from, is one of the most impoverished zip codes in the nation. So he was like, yeah, he's a white guy. I'm like, if he's a white guy doing urban ministry in South Dallas, I need to meet this dude.
Yeah, you really have to meet him. Right?
He's either crazy or he's the popo. He's the police. It was either one of the two. Yeah.
Which Mike was pretty crazy.
He was the most unique person I've ever met in my life. Yeah. So, of course, meeting Mike, as most people's testimony would be after meeting Mike, I was hooked on the vision. And I ended up leaving corporate America, prayed, my wife and I, with Mike and his wife, Laura, and started serving as the director of community development in South Dallas for Hope and Salvation Bridge Builders, whose focus, the missional focus, was in South Dallas in a place called Bonton, one of the most broken areas in the city. And every deprivation known to man was encapsulated within that context. So the question was, how do you bear God's resources in that context to see his redemptive purpose carried out in that context. And the last part of that, for me, having looking at this, the local church changed my life. And I saw all these amazing tentacles of ministry outreach without the partnership of a local indigenous church. So I said, Mike, you might want to plant a church here. And I've got some buddies that I went to seminary with. I think they'd be great to come here and help launch this. And of course, 6 months later, Mike says, God told me to tell you, you're the church planter. And yeah. I said, well, he didn't tell me that. And then of course, my wife and I prayed. And then the next thing you know, here we are. And God called us to plant an urban church in an urban context. So the rest is somewhat history.
Yeah. Yeah. So you said you would never do it.
Never.
And Mike was crazy enough to talk you into it.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was pretty persuasive.
Yeah. I know he is a very persuasive man for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. And, but you're doing community ministry. You're doing, you know, which I find, I mean, it's his Bridge Builders, you know, the organization takes a pretty unique approach using business and other means to try to rebuild Bon-Ton.
Absolutely.
And out of that, you were seeing, I mean, you and Mike and other leaders there at His Bridge Builders, I mean, you were seeing people come to faith, right? And a church was birthed out of this. Now, how long has the church been around, the name of it, these types of things?
Yeah, well, the church has been around for 3 years, mm-hmm. Going on 4 years. I can't believe it's 4 years. I feel like we just started yesterday. And Restoration Community Church really came out of this big picture of restored lives. And really, that's what Bridge Builders as a nonprofit does. It acts in the restoration of not only the lives of the impoverished materially in Bon-Ton, but also those that are that would be spiritually impoverished,
right.
Those that have everything, that think that they're bearing resource to people who are in need. Well, really, that bridge works both ways.
Right.
It's like, wait a second, I'm being the one with the resources, probably more impacted than the person that's without. So with that said, the church plant is very unique in that it really was a church plant from discipleship making with several, particularly men that was in the community. These men that were in the community that came to Christ that we were trying to bus to Prestonwood. And if you geographically in Dallas, it's very much like in Atlanta in terms of the mass of land. So we're trying to get guys who don't have driver's license to a church that honestly is a primary Anglo church, predominantly Anglo church.
Right.
So there was some contextual challenges, and then there was just logistic challenges. So it's like, man, we need a Bible teaching church where Bridge Builders couldn't do the job of the local church. It's
right.
It's a nonprofit parachurch organization. God didn't call it to be the local gathered church. God called Restoration Church to be that for the people, frankly, that would never go to a church. So,
Yeah, that's great, and it's fascinating. I mean, you see lives being changed. I mean, what do you see the Lord using Restoration Church, community church, to do to in the lives of people? If you can just share a story.
Sure. I've got, when you said that, I've got an amazing story, and it really is, it speaks to the synergistic relationship that exists between this nonprofit Bridge Builders, because I really can't fully give the story of Restoration justice without speaking of, you know, I'm going to use a poor analogy as a poor illustration, because it really, I'm drawn for straws from a biblical context, but you had the mother church in Jerusalem. And then, you know, when Paul is speaking to these churches that he would plant, whether it was in Ephesus or Philippi or in Corinth, we're going to the home base. We're
right.
Bringing an offering to the home base. Well, those churches were, some of them were doing well, and the church, the mother church, was hurting. Well, the mother church for us is Bridge Builders, and it's not a church, but it really has been the tentacles of ministry support. So if a family, for instance, they go through the Bridge Builder program, there's really three pools of the Bridge Builder program. I'm going to focus on one. If you are in need of a job training, we provide a job training program. Well, through the job training program, we have what we call allies, and these allies walk with with the people who are going through the program for 3 weeks. A part of them walking through the program is they have to attend a Bible study. Well, guess where the Bible study is housed?
Yeah.
Restoration Community Church.
Yeah.
Guess who the guy who's facilitating the Bible study? Pastor Vaughn. So these people come to a Bible study and they get to know the pastor on a named basis. So to bring the story to summarize it, we had Antonia. She has 6 kids, not married. She goes through the program. She comes to Bible study, and every Wednesday for 4 weeks, she leaves the Bible study in tears. Mm-hmm. So at the end of that 4 weeks, when she's graduating, we give her a card and say, "We want you to come to church." So she comes to church on the Sunday. She literally is saved. And she says, "What must I do to be baptized?" Can't make it up. Mm-hmm. So we baptize her, but not only her, because of her life, it was like looking at the book of Acts, really looking at the story of Lydia. When she was saved, the whole house was saved. Her whole house was saved, and they all were baptized.
Wow.
So we were able to do this. The job of the local church is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, to baptize them, and then to begin the process of discipleship and teaching them to obey the word of God. That's one of like several stories that are now happening at the church, which is just, it is the act of God. It is the redemptive purpose of his working to see his people drawn back to himself. And we just get to play a role in that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's anytime I have the opportunity to be on the ground there in Bonton and just see what the Lord's using you and the Bridge Builders organization to do in your church, and just to see him form his body there in Bonton and see the light of Christ be established and just continue to expand. I mean, it's such a glorious testimony to the goodness of the Lord.
It makes no sense. So there has to be a God.
Yeah.
With Bonton Farms now in that community, who would ever think in a billion years we would have the largest urban farm in the nation?
Yeah.
In Bonton, this once they would call it a God-forsaken place, in a flood zone, where the levee wasn't stable enough to hold off water, and this area of the city would be constantly flooded. Now you have just a store that's about to be built, where it's going to have the first urban grocery store in the state of Texas's history, where there's an urban grocery store that is literally selling the produce from its farm in the city.
Yeah.
So it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, even just that, all of the different ways that you and the others that God has used in all of this to minister in Bonton, just the ways that you identify these gaps and these forms of brokenness, and you bring hope and beauty there. I mean, Bonton's a major food desert.
Absolutely.
People do not have access to quality food at quality prices. And you and Darren and others, I mean, you've stepped in and created this amazing urban garden and this grocery store. I mean, it's just a fascinating story to me.
Yeah, it really is. And to further that, there are two other pools that really the church plays a major role. Our missionary program. We have 2 missionaries that now are living, they're indigenous to the community of Bonton. And really what we've tasked our missionaries to do, obviously, is to live missionally within that context. They're from the area, so they have greater influence within the context. And they're there. They're the boots on the ground every day. So what we're doing now is we're partnering with our missionaries as a local church. So now we're going to share the gospel and evangelizing into a place that, if you were just looking at it from a statistical perspective, it's one of the most unreached areas of our city for the gospel. The churches that used to be there have now drawn up because there's been not only urban flight or actually white flight, but there's also been urban flight. So you have just a little over 18,000 people that now live in that zip code, but people are being reached for the gospel of Jesus Christ now weekly. So we're just praising God for what he's doing.
Wow. Well, I really appreciate your time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always great to be with you and just to capture the story of what the Lord has used you to do.
Praise God.
And it's and I appreciate your time.
Hey, no problem. Thanks, Ryan.
Ryan, that was a really great conversation with Vaughn, and it struck me to hear how church planting and community ministry really came together.
Yeah, it's a thing that when you are working with church planters, what we're seeing here at the North American Mission Board, that church planters who are trying to start a community of faith, a church in under-resourced neighborhoods, efforts of community development are non-negotiable. You know, you really do have to wed together these types of efforts that His Bridge Builders and Vaughn and what they're doing in Bon-Ton, you have to pursue those. You may not be at the same level that they are. I mean, because they have a pretty high-end operation there as far as businesses and the types of things they're doing. But a lot of our church planters are experiencing this, that we have to go in and try to do things like preparing people for quality jobs and helping them have access to quality housing and these types of efforts as a part of our church plant. Those two things are not separate. Yeah.
You know, I know this is probably a new concept to some people. For me, over the years, I felt like if you did a business venture or you were a nonprofit, you really needed to do that separate from the church. But this is a really great example of how the two come together. So talk to us a little bit about maybe the pastor or leader who is hearing this for the first time, or maybe somebody who's considered it. What advice would you give to them bringing the nonprofit or the business aspect together deeply into the life of a church?
Yeah, well, I would say that the two things need to be clearly separated because they are not. The church is not a business, you know, and businesses that are financially responsible and they do what businesses do is generating cash and job opportunities and these things. That's not the church. I mean, these things do have to be separated. So I would say that you separate out these things and allow the church to focus on what the church is called to do according to Scripture. But what we've missed traditionally, I would say, over the past 100 years, and we're starting to see a recovery of this, is people who have a vocational skill set in business can really leverage their capabilities, their vocational, expertise to create things like cash generators that will change neighborhoods, and they can really oversee job placement. And what we've done is underutilize the business person in our churches. We let them take up an offering. They can wipe a dirty bottom in the nursery. They can, help people find a seat in the sanctuary. But we don't even think in terms of how they can apply their skill set to missional outcomes. And so they are separate. They're separate entities. You should not confuse the two. But the two should support one another. And without the church, you know, we've talked about, you know, the church, it can't help a neighborhood thrive and be what it needs to be apart from some of these things like businesses. That's the reason why communities like Bon-Ton are under-resourced. But on the other side of that coin, the business, is woefully missing the mark if it is not attached to a church, because we can drive economics, we can drive cash into a neighborhood and see things change on the surface. But at the end of the day, apart from the gospel, lives aren't changed. Just, you know, the patterns of how they make decisions and those things are not oriented according to the gospel around God's word. So the two really do support one another. And we're seeing great models, great examples of these two things working well with one another, although they're separate, you know, as far as separate entities.
Well, this was a really good conversation today, and I think it helps us think in an area maybe we're not always familiar with. And, you know, a couple of words that stood out to me that Vaughn talked about, words like unreached, church plant, indigenous missionaries, nonprofit, grocery stores, all of these things come together in a really amazing way. And I think that these are the very things that God calls us to walk in. This is what it means to be a follower of Christ in our context today.
Yeah, well, thank you, Lorna. It's been great to spend time with Vaughn, and then a privilege for the two of us to be able to digest some of these things that hopefully churches will listen to this podcast and they'll start to, you know, God will use this to expand their thinking about how do they step into a broken and under-resourced neighborhood? What does church planning look like in that type of context? And then to bring along business people from the marketplace with their certain skill set that they can apply that to walk alongside the church planner to see a major difference in their neighborhood.
Thank you for listening to the Send Relief Podcast, a resource of the North American Mission Board. For more information about today's podcast, visit our website at namb.net/sendrelief.